Today's shir is Masechta Nazir Daf Chaf Dalad, and we will begin on Daf Chaf Dalad Amar Aleph at the Mishnah on the second line. Says the Mishnah, Ish Shin Nazir Ben Nazir, if a woman accepted upon herself a Naziris, V'frishas Behemtan, she separated a carbon for the Naziris. The three kabbanis that a person has to bring when they conclude the Naziris are a carbon chatos, a carbon oila, and a carbon shlamim, and this woman had designated these animals for the karbonis that she has to bring. It's interesting to note that Rameya Simcha, the Meshechachma, indicates that the three karbonis a Nazir has to bring when they conclude the Naziris, a Chatas Oyla Shlamim, are the same types of karbonis that the Nasiim brought during the Chanukah Mishkan. They each brought the achatos and oil and shlomim. And he says, what is the common denominator? What is the common concept between these two events? So he explains that the Nesim, the purpose of the Nesim in bringing their kabbonis was to be a Chanukah Mishkan, to be an inauguration of the Mishkan. He says, similarly, a Nazir who underwent the term of Naziris, it's supposed to have an effect on him. It's supposed to change him for the better. It's supposed to inaugurate the rest of his life to be a better, more meaningful life. And that's the similarity in the set of kabbonis that were brought by these two types of situations. So the woman had accepted upon herself to be in the zira, had designated the animals to bring the kabbonis that a nazir must bring, then her husband released her from the naziris. Teaches us the Mishnah, if the animals that she had designated were animals that belonged to the husband, the halach is, given that Naziris has been released, and therefore the entire designation was null and void, and the animals, therefore, Taitzev Tira Be'eder, could go out back to the flock. They have no Kedusha on them. I saw an interesting machlokes. Our Mishnah describes a situation where a husband is made for the Naziris of a wife. The typical case that we usually think of is where a woman accepted upon herself a standard term of Naziris of 30 days. 15 days into the Naziris, the husband becomes aware of the Naziris, and he is made for it. And that's the dinim that we've been learning and will continue to learn the other situation. However, what would be the situation if a woman accepted upon herself a term of a 60-day Naziris, which we know the halach is, it's certainly an acceptable declaration of Naziris. And she already passed 30 days of performing her Naziris, and at that point, her husband is made for the Naziris. How does the halacha view it? Do we say it doesn't make a difference once the husband is made for the Naziris? At whatever point he's made for the Naziris, the halachas we have been discussing and will continue to discuss apply? Or do we perhaps think that since she already has held a full 30 day of Naziris, that is enough, then the dinim of our Mishnah don't apply, and she certainly must bring a carbon. Machlokes, most poskim say it doesn't make a difference at one point. However, I did see a rishash that seems to indicate that if she already kept a 30-day Naziris, then even if the husband at that point is made for the Naziris, she would still be obligated to bring the karbanos. However, vim shalah haisa behema, if the animal that she designated was from our own animals, Hachatos Thomas, the Chatos is left to die, because as we have learned, the Gemara says many times that there's a Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai, that a Chatos, if someone designated an animal as a carbon Chatos, Shiniskapru Baleho, that the people who designated it don't anymore require that carbon Chatos to be brought as a carbon Chatos, the Halach is Thomas, it's left to die. Oila, the animal she designated as a carbon oiler, ticker of oiler, should be brought as a carbon oiler. It should be brought as a carbon oiler. It's nedava, that the halacha is a carbon oiler can be brought as a nedava. Tosfos asks that we learned earlier the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, who Rabbi Shmuel says there's a specific pasuk to teach us that someone who was a nazira, a woman who was a nazira, and became tamei, that the halacha is that a nazira who becomes tamei has to bring a chatas oila and asham, and then her husband was made for the naziris. The halacha, says Rabbi Shmuel, is that she does not have to bring the carbon oila, because there's a specific pasuk that excludes her obligation to bring the carbon oila. Here, that our Mishnah says that she still brings the carbon oila, isn't that contradictory to Rabbi Shmuel's opinion? Says Tosfos, that opinion we learned of Rabbi Shmuel was only in a situation where she was Nazira that became Tomei, and then the husband was made for the Naziris. Our situation is referring to a Nazir who never became Tomei, remained Tar, and therefore the oila should be brought as a carbon oila, and the Shlomim should be brought, Tikr of Shlomim, should be brought as a carbon Shlomim. However, V'necholim L'yoyim Echad, those carbon Shlomim is only eaten for one day, V'ein Entunim Lechem, and doesn't require that the breads that are normally brought along with the carbon Shlomim of a Nazir should be brought along. So as we've been learning, in order to review, we have been learning, the halacha is that the carbon Chatos that a Nazir or a Nazira bring after became Tomei, and then this Naziris was released, there the halacha we learned is that the carbon chatos ha'oif, if she had designated it prior to the hafara, should be brought. Whereas in our Mishnah we're learning that the carbon chatos ha'behema should not be brought. And as we've explained, there are three reasons why that chatos ha'oif should be brought. Number one, because it was already designated. Number two, because the person actually did some aveira by holding back and preventing oneself from drinking wine. However, there's another factor that is relevant by a chatos ha'oif, which is not relevant by a chatos behema. A chatos ha'oif is brought even al asafik. If there's a question of one is obligated to bring the chatos ha'oif, the halacha is that it should be brought. However, a chatos behema is not brought misafik, and therefore, in the case of our Mishnah, the woman would not bring the chatas behema, even though in the case of the tameya, the chatas ha'oif is brought. So our Mishnah taught us that although usually a carbon shlomim is nechal l'shnei yomim v'layla echad, it's eaten for 2 days and one night. That means if a carbon shlomim was brought on a Sunday, it could be eaten all day Sunday, Sunday night and Monday. The carbon shlomim that a nazir brings is only nechal yomim v'layla, only a day and a night. And our Mishnah says that although this carbon shlomim is not really being brought as a shalmei nazir, because she's really not a nazir, her husband was made for the naziris, still it should be treated stringently and also only be eaten l'yoyim v'layla. And there's actually a machlokes why. The Keren Ayres says it's a gzeira d'rabbanan. It's a gzeira d'rabbanan that Chazal said that the shlomim, because one should not confuse this situation with a regular shalmei nazir, which are halachically only permitted to be eaten l'yoyim v'layla, therefore even these shlomim are also only nechel l'yoyim v'layla. That's how the Keren Ayur learns. Dar Sameach learns very differently. Dar Sameach says that this is a specific halacha, that the halacha is that if an animal was designated as a shalmei nazir, even if at the end it will not be brought as a shalmei nazir, it has the halacha that it may only be eaten l'yoyim v'layla. Then the Mishnah continued saying, v'ein entunin lechem. The halacha is that a carbon shalmei nazir, 20 breads were supposed to accompany them, 10 of one type and 10 of another type. One of each type should be brought together with everything else to be given to the kohen. and the other 9 were eaten by the Nazir. Our Mishnah says, Ein Atunin Lechem. And the Rishonim speak at great length, what is the definition of Ein Atunin Lechem? Certainly, says Tosfos, had the woman, the Nazira, already designated these Lechamim to be the Lachmim, to be the bread of the Nazir, and then the harvest bin was made for the Naziris, since these breads had received the Kedusha, one has to be paid to them, one has to redeem them in order to be able to use them. But the question is, let's say she had not yet designated Lechamim. How are we to understand the din of our Mishnah, Venetunan Lechem? Are we to understand that she doesn't have to bring the Lechem at all? Or are we to understand that she has to bring the Lechem, but the regular halachas of Lechem that apply, as we just described them, will not apply in this situation? That is really the subject of the Machlokes Rishonim. And the Brisker Rav asks, how can we even have a Shaila? If our Mishnah just taught us, as we explained, that it has the din of that the din of the Shlamim to some degree have the halacha of a Shalmei Nazir, that the halacha is that they're only eaten L'yoyim V'layla, certainly they should have to bring the Lechamim. Why would that be any different? Says the Brisker Rav, there are two dinim, there are two rules in what a Nazira or a Nazir have to do when they conclude the Naziris. One is a din of Kabbanos. There are certain Kabbanos that have to be brought. And this person who was a Nazira, whose husband was made for the Naziris, the halachas of Karban Nazir certainly to a degree still apply to her, and therefore the shlam she brings should be eaten only l'yoyim v'layla, like the special din of the Shalmei Nazir, not like all other shlamim. However, says the Brisker Rav, the halacha of the lechamim are not a din in karbonis. The halacha of the lechamim are a din in a nazir. A nazir has to bring loaves of bread, and that in fact is indeed the debate of the Rishonim. The Rishonim that say that she has to bring the breads hold that the lechamim have a din like a karban nazir. And since this person has to bring a karban nazir, they also have to bring the lachmei nazir. However, the Rishonim who say that she does not have to bring the lachmei nazir say that the din of lachmei nazir are connected to being a nazir. And this woman is not a nazira, and therefore those halachas do not apply to her. There's another din that applies to every nazir that our Mishnah doesn't mention. The halach is that the carbon, the ram that's brought for the Shalmei Nazir, typically by a carbon shlomim, the chaz of a shaykh go to the kayanim, that's the breast and the lower part of the right hind leg, and the rest of the animal belongs to the owner of the carbon shlomim. By Shalmei Nazir, there's the halach of the zroya, which is the foreleg of that animal, that also must be given to the kohanim. And in fact, the halach is that zroya is cooked together with the chaz of ishoik. It's taken, it's waved together with the amarim and the other parts of the karban shlamim. We will learn these halachas more at depth later in the masechta. And the Rishonim debate, what will be the halacha regarding the Zroya of this Shlomim that we're discussing in our Mishnah? Some Rishonim say that the din of the Zroya B'Sheila does not apply here. Others say, because since of an important part of the halacha of the Zroya B'Sheila is that it has to be waved, and this person is not a Nazir, it says a Kape, you have to put it on the palm of the Nazir, but there is no Nazir here. Others say that it's not, and if they say there's no halacha of Azraya here, others say that it is, that the halacha does apply, yet others suggest that it's separated out, given to the Kohanim, were not brought together with the rest of the Amorim and the Chaz V'Shoik of the carbon. And perhaps we could suggest that the Machloikis is really connected to what the Briskerov described. How do we view the halacha of the Zeruya? Is it a halacha in the carbon, or is it a separate halacha in the Nazir? If it's halacha in the carbon, then the carbonis still apply. If it's a din in the Nazir, this person is not a Nazir, and therefore the halachas do not apply. Continues the Mishnah. But before we begin continuing our Mishnah, we have to familiarize ourselves with two terminologies. There's a term called Ma'os Tumim, and there's a term called Ma'os Mufarashim. Ma'os Tumim means that if this woman or any Nazir has to bring Kabbonis, they designate a certain sum of money, Ma'os Tumim, unspecified money, that money will be used to bring the Kabbonis. Ma'os Mufarashim is that the person took money and said, this money will be used for the Chatos, this money will be used for the Oila, this money will be used for the Shlomim. Says the Mishnah, Hayala Ma'os Tumim, if the woman had undesignated money, that now she doesn't need to bring the Kabbonis, because her husband was made for the Naziris, the halacha is Yiplu Nadova. As we're going to learn in the Gemara Mitzvah Shem, there's halacha L'Moshe Mitzinai, that this money should be used for Oilas Ketzem Mizbeach. Oilas Ketzem Mizbeach means that they wanted to keep the Mizbeach in use all the time. So if people had Kabbonis that they were obligated to bring, those Kabbonis were brought in the Mizbeach. However, if there was no Kabbonis being brought by people, they used to bring special oilas to be ketzah mizbeach, means like a dessert for the mizbeach, and the funding for those kabbonis came from this type of a situation, the ma'as tumim. Ma'as mefarashim, but if she had specified funds, so the halach is as follows. The mechatos, the money that she had designated for the chaber chatos, yiplu yam hamelech, should be taken to the yam hamelech, because the halacha is that since she will not be obligated to bring this korban chatos, she loinenen, so you're not allowed to benefit from this money, and therefore it should be discarded in the Yam HaMelech. As the Rishonim and Achronim discuss, it should be perhaps specifically taken to the Yam HaMelech, where there is no chance of anyone benefiting from it. If one will throw it in the wind, somebody may come to benefit from that money, even if it's ground up. Daloch is loinenen, one may not benefit from it, v'loy malim behen. However, if one benefited from these funds, he will not have transgressed the aveira of me'ila. Me'ila means that if somebody uses something that was designated as a carbon that's supposed to be brought on the mizbeach, the halach is he's moil behegdish with specific halachas. He has to bring a carbon ashamilas. He has to pay back the principal plus a fifth. Since these money will not be used for carbon chatas, so as we learned at the beginning of the Mishnah, the halach is that there's no obligation to bring a carbon chatas in this case. So therefore, there is no me'ila. The may oila. However, the money that was designated to be used for carbon oila, Yuvio oila, should be used to buy a carbon oila. And if one misappropriated that money for his own personal use, my alam behem, he will have transgressed me'ila. He will have transgressed me'ila. Because this is money that was designated for carbon oila. Continues the Mishnah. The May Shlomim, the money that was designated for carbon Shlomim, Yuviu Shlomim, should be brought as a carbon Shlomim. However, as we learned at the beginning of the Mishnah, carbon Shlomim funds, there is no din of Mi'ila on carbon Shlomim, since they're Kachim Kalim, until the blood was actually sprinkled on the Mizbeach. The Rishonim also point out that the reason the Mishnah chose to teach us where there is or isn't Me'ila in the second part of the Mishnah, where there isn't actually animals that we're discussing. It's just money that was used, that was designated. Explain the Rishonim. The Mishnah is trying to teach us the Mi'ila does not only apply to animals, but Mi'ila actually even applies to money that was designated for Kabbonis. Says the Gemara, Man Tana the Ba'alai Mishabela. The Gemara is learning that the husband, that if the woman took the husband's animals to fulfill her obligations because she thought she's a Nazira, the Mishnah says that and then when he was made for it, so it turned out that she was not a Nazira. So she, the money, the animals that the husband designated don't have any Kedusha on them. They could be returned to the flock. So obviously our Mishnah holds that the husband is not obligated to provide his wife with animals for carbon. Rav Chisda says, Rav Chisda, Rabbanan hi. It represents, obviously, the opinion of the Rabbanan. Di sakadatak Rabbi Yehuda hi. If we're going to learn that it's Rabbi Yehuda, amai taitziv atira be'eda. Why is that halacha that the animals could just be returned to the flock? Since the husband is obligated, and we're going to explain the machlokes of Rabbanan Rabbi Yehuda in a moment, since the husband is obligated to give the wife these animals, so they become her animals. And if they become her animals, our Mishnah taught us that the halach is very different. Why? If the Mishnah says that they remain his, obviously because he's not obligated to give it to her. So the Mefarshim ask, if we're learning that the husband is not obligated to give her the animals, so why in a situation where he was not made for the Naziris will the halacha be that the animals that she took from him will be used as a kabbonis? She's taking animals that don't belong to her. How can one take animals that doesn't belong to oneself and use it as a carbon? So the Rishonim say that the situation in the Mishnah must be that the husband gave her the animals with the understanding that only if they're needed can they be used. Otherwise, you can't use them. Another pshat is that indeed the Mishnah is learning that she would not be allowed to use the animals, and the Mishnah is only drawing a contrast where she used her own animals versus the animals that she took from her husband. The Tanya, as we learned in the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Adam may be carbon asher al eshtay. A man should bring. The kabbonis of a wealthy person for his wife, which means as follows. We know that there are certain kabbonis, the carbon that your lettuce brings, that depends on the financial status of the person bringing the carbon. So halacha says of Yehuda, we look at the husband's financial status to determine what type of carbon should be brought, an animal or a bird or a carbon mincha. Because shekach kosov lo, because so is written to the ksuba, kol achrayis islach alai mikadmas tano. I have the responsibility for all your obligations. So according to Yehuda, the husband is the wife takes kabbonis from the husband, and there's a machlokes rishonim how to understand this line of the ksuba. Some rishonim explain the line to be understood as follows: that even if a woman has an obligation, a prior obligation to bring a carbon prior to her marriage, but she never brought the carbon prior to the marriage, the halacha is that the husband has to supply all of these kabbonis. Another pshat that the Rishonim give is that if the marriage is terminated, the wife has to write a receipt to the husband that any kabbonis that she had to bring during the marriage, all of those obligations have been satisfied. She writes such a receipt to the husband because he's obligated to pay for her carbonis. So obviously our Mishnah that says that the husband is not obligated to provide her with these animals doesn't follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. And the Mefarshim, the Rishonim, qualify the Machlokes of Yehuda and Rabbanan. And they say the following. Certainly, if a woman makes a neder, if a woman takes on a neder to bring a carbon, everyone, the Rabbanan and even Rabbi Yehuda, will hold that the husband is not obligated to pay for those kabbonis. For if a husband were obligated to pay for the kabbonis, a wife who wants to do harm to her husband could constantly accept upon herself the obligation to bring a carbon. And even though the husband can be made for those nadarim, there's always a concern that the husband may not hear, may not be aware, may not be made for it for whatever reason, and therefore certainly both the Rabban and Arab Yehuda agree that the husband doesn't have to pay for those kabbanas. And as the Rishonim point out, even though Naziris is a form of a neder, Naziris is not your regular neder, because if a wife accepts upon herself to bring a carbon, that's a neder that can only harm the husband. But the Naziris that she accepts upon herself causes her a problem that she has to act as a Nazira. And therefore, there is no concern that she will accept upon herself a Naziris to harm her husband, and the husband has to pay for the Karbanas Naziris. Moreover, say to Mefarshim, the Karbanas a woman has to bring in order to complete her Tahara process, the Karbanas of Yoledis, the Karbanas of a Zava, other such Karbanas, the halach is that the husband, even according to the Rabbanon, must supply those Karbanas. The Machlaikis is only in Karbanas, like a Karban Chatos, that a woman would be obligated to bring. Does the husband have to supply it or not? With Rabbi Yehuda saying that he does, and the Rabbanon saying he doesn't. There is a Shaila. Now that we've said that even the Rabbanon agree that Karbanas that the woman has to bring to complete her Tahara process, the husband certainly has to pay for, even according to Rabbanon, what would Rabbanon hold regarding what financial status do we consider her? Do we follow her financial status, or do we follow the husband's financial status? And it's interesting to point out that the Brisker Rav has a very interesting way of explaining the machloikis of Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon. According to Rabbi Yehuda, says the Brisker Rav, the obligation for a husband to pay for his wife's kabbonis is a financial obligation. Just like a husband assumes a number of financial obligations when he becomes married, this is included in the group of obligations that the husband accepts upon himself. That's Rabbi Yehuda's position, says the Brisker Rav. The Rabbanon, says the Brisker Rav, say it's not included. The obligation that a woman has to bring kabbonis are not included in the husband's financial obligations. Rather, the obligations include, this is a din in kabbonis. There's a din that the husband has to participate in the carbon. And therefore, there's a very interesting shaila. We know that even after one designates an animal, wants to designate an animal to be a carbon, he has to be magdish the carbon. The question is, when a wife is obligated in bringing a carbon, and the husband gives her the carbon, who is the one to be magdish the animal? According to Rabbi Yehuda's understanding, that it's a financial obligation, but not anything more than a financial obligation, the wife would have to be magdish the animal as a carbon. On the other hand, according to Rabbi Bonon, that the husband is participating in the carbon, and it's partially his obligation also, so he can be magdish the carbon. Another interesting shaila would come up as follows. The Rama discusses a situation where a woman did something that requires that she be fined. What would be the halach if the woman did something that there's a financial fine for? Is the husband obligated to pay that fine or not? If we say that it's a financial obligation, perhaps this is included in the financial obligation. But if, on the other hand, it's a din and karbonos, this is certainly not a carbon. The Taz, however, says that we should not really compare this shaila to the shaila of karbonos. Says the Gemara Rava, afil tein Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah could be explained to even be consistent with the opinion of Yehuda. Because kimis shabbat law, when is the husband obligated to pay for something? The milsa de tzrichalo, only for something that she needs. But if here he was made for the naziris, and therefore she doesn't have to bring the carbon naziris, but milsa de tzrichalo, something that she doesn't need, law, he doesn't obligate himself, and the husband doesn't have to pay even according to Rabbi Yehuda. I saw a very interesting vart based on this concept that the Gemara differentiates between something that she needs versus something she doesn't need, a shaila that was asked to the Ragachover. Apparently, in Russia, one was able to have a certificate, albeit the certificates were very difficult to come by and very expensive, that would exempt someone from a draft. And there was a man who owned such a certificate. And this person was older and was about to die. And he left at Tzava, he left a will that since he had a number of sons, but all of his sons were already older and past the age of being drafted. He only had one son who was younger, who could still be drafted. He said that that son should be the son to receive that certificate. And then that son was exempted from the draft even without using that certificate. So the other brother said, if that now it came out, Baruch Hashem, that you didn't need to use that certificate to be exempted from the draft, we are all equal partners in the ownership of this certificate. The youngest son, however, said, no, I received that certificate as an inheritance from my father, whether I need it or not, and this certificate belongs now to me, and if I want to sell it, I could sell it, and all the proceeds should come to me. Says the Ragachover that the brothers are right. And his raya is from what we just learned in our Gemara. Because our Gemara, says the Ragachover, just taught us that sometimes somebody only has rights to something he deserves only if he needs it. And that's what happened here, said the Ragachover. The father gave this specific son this certificate only under the assumption that this son and only this son needed it. But if this son didn't need it, he never gave it to him specifically, and it's the joint property of all of the Yarshim. Ikadamri, but there's another version of this Gemara. Mantana, who is the Tana of our Mishnah? Amrav Chizda, says Rav Chizda, Rav Yehudi, it's specifically the opinion of Yehuda. And therefore, the wife can take the husband's animals as a carbon. And the Mishnah is teaching us that when will those animals be designated as a kabarnas? Kima Shabbat law, when will that obligation come to be? But milsa the tzrichala, something that she needs. But if she doesn't end up needing those animals kabonis because the husband was made for the Naziris, loy, he has no obligation and he can take back the animals. Because, says the Gemara, the Rabbanon, because if we follow the opinion of the Rabbanon, he has absolutely no obligation to provide her with animals for kabonis, and therefore there's no such a situation that the Mishnah describes that she's taking her husband's animals for kabonis. So ask the Gemara, how is the case of the Mishnah, that the Mishnah speaks about a case that she took the husband's animal ever possible, that the husband specifically gave her rights to take the animal, once he gave her, isn't that her animals, have the nafsha, it's her own animals, and we just learned in our Mishnah that animals that belong to her have a very different rule than animals that belong to the husband. And there's a very interesting vart that both the Rosh and Tosfos say, that our Gemara that's explaining that the husband gave the wife rights to the animal must be referring, say these Rishonim, to him giving her the rights before she made the neder. Because if there were a situation that the woman accepted upon herself the Naziris, and then the husband gave her the rights to the animal, that would certainly be a situation of confirmation of the Naziris, that the halach is that when a Naziris is confirmed by the husband, it can no longer ever be mufer. If we're describing a situation where the Naziris can be mufer, it must be that he was makna these rights prior, and there was no hakami here. So the question is, if the Mishnah is referring to a situation that the husband specifically gave the wife rights, why, according to Rabbanan, is it not considered animals of the wife? Rav Amar Afilu Teima Rabbanan. We can't explain that the Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbanan. And we can't explain that the Mishnah is referring to a situation where the husband where the husband gave the wife rights in the animals. But the rights were limited. The rights he gave her were limited to if she indeed ends up needing those animals. However, if she doesn't end up needing the animals, then the halacha is he was never makna to her the rights in those animals, and therefore they belong his. And if the Naziris is released, Taitse v'tira v'eda. Then the Mishnah discussed the situation. Im shalah ha'isa behemta, if the animals belong to her, the halacha is chatas tamis, the chatas should be left to die for oila tikrif. Ask the Gemara, himanala, how could a woman ever have her own animals? Hamrit, don't we know that the halacha is the mashakansi isha kanabala, that whatever a wife owns really belongs to the husband? And for here, in fact, the Rishonim point out, Daruch Lenev makes this point, and other Mefarshim, that this concept that we come across many times, of Kamashakansi Isha Kanabala, whatever a woman acquires belongs to the husband, is a concept Midaraisa. And that's why our Mishnah is asking this question. Answers the Gemara Amra Papa, Shekimtsa Misasa. Our Mishnah is referring to a situation where the husband provides the wife every week with a certain sum of money for food allowance, and she didn't use up all that money in order that she should have leftover money, and with that leftover money she went and she has money to buy, have her own animals for kabonis. Ibai Sema, another answer, Daknula Acher, someone else gave her animals and gave her the animals on with the stipulation Vamala Amanash Ein Labalach Rishuspehen, telling her specifically you can't use these animals are for you specifically and your husband may not use them. And as we explained earlier when we learned this sugya, that when he gives her the animals, gives her these animals with this stipulation, he has to also stipulate clearly what she is to do with those animals. The Chavetz Chaim in the Sefer Likutei Halachos says the machloikis of the two pshatim in the Gemara that we just learned really revolves around the question, if a husband gives his wife a certain allowance that she ends up not using all of the money, who is the true owner of that money? The first teret says that the true owner of the money is the wife, and therefore she could go then use the money for whatever she wants, buying animals for her naziris. The second teret holds, however, says the Chafetz Chaim, since he was the original owner of the money, even though he gave the money for her needs, the money remains his, and that's why the Gemara had to give another teretz, Damel Amanas Shein Lebaloch Rishus Behen. The Mefarshim discuss at great length the Paiskim, the concept of Kama Shekon Si Shekon Abalo. And that's why many Paiskim say the halacha is that a woman doesn't give Shalach Manas. Because what's the point of a woman giving Shalach Manas? Everything she owns really anyway belongs to a husband. And the same vein, the Paiskim say, that's why the halacha we find is that matanis lav yoinim should be given to two poor people. Every man should give to two poor people because his wife is unable to give tzedakah herself because all the money she owns is really her husband's. So the husband should give to two poor people, having in mind that he's taking care of the obligation of giving tzedakah both for himself and for his wife. And in fact, the halacha, as the remark quotes, that a woman should not use her give tzedakah. In fact, the remark says that if she does, she is magdish something, the hegdish is entirely ineffective because everything she owns really belongs to the husband. Although the Beis Shmuel says that if we have a woman that's noisas for nesenes bebayis, and the definition the Mefarshim say of nesas for nesenes bebayis is a woman who the husband trusts to run the sum or all of the financial aspects of the household, there, even though halachically she should be careful not to be magdish assets that don't belong to her, the husband should be magdish. If she is magdish, since she's in the status of nesas for nesenes bebayis, the hegdish is valid. Ramosha was asked the interesting shaila. If the Rav who sells chametz to a non-Jew, sells the chametz to a non-Jewish woman, who Rachmana Litzlan is married to a Jewish man, should we not here have a problem of Kamashikansi Isha Kanabala? Because that money, really, that the woman owns, if she now owns the chametz, really her husband, the Jew, owns. So Ramosha says that the concept of Kamashikansi Isha Kanabala is actually a concept that's relative to halacha, and only to men, to only Jews, not to non-Jews. He says the relevant fact is to pay attention under such circumstances, he says, is to look at the law of the land. If the law of the land is that everything a wife owns is also owned by the husband, so one should be very careful not to sell chametz to a Jewish woman, to a non-Jewish woman who's married to a Jew. Whereas, if that is not the law, and men and women, husbands and wife, have independent ownership of property, there, I'm not saying that that's the guy to look for mechiras chametz, but it would be acceptable. There's also another interesting shailas that are asked by the poskim. Now that we've learned this concept of kimtzum misasa, that a person could hold back for something they're entitled to, and therefore own the money, what would be the halacha if a person works at a job, the poskim discuss, that the job pays him? Rabbi Yisrael Yankov Fish in the Shalos Tshuvos Evan Yisrael discusses the shaila, and the job pays every day to the person a certain amount of money as car fare to arrive to the job. And this person, instead of using the money to go by car, by train, by bus, whatever, to work, walks to work in order to be able to keep the money. Is he entitled to keep the money or not? So he says, at first glance, that's Al Gemara of Kimtza Misasa, that she should be entitled to keep the money. However, he says that perhaps we could argue that it would be different. Because if a person is given money to travel to work, and then instead of using that money to travel in an easy mode of transportation to work, he walks, so it causes him to be worn out by the time he gets to work, because he had to walk all that way. And certainly the owner, the employer, should not have to subsidize that. However, what would be the halacha if one works at a job, the Paiskim discuss, where whenever he's on a business trip, he receives a certain amount of money as a daily allowance for food. And this person, instead of using all that money for food, scrimps and eats less, or was invited to eat in someone's home, is he entitled to keep that money? Here, the Paiskim do apply the concept that Al Gemara just taught us of Kimtza Misasa, and she's allowed to keep that money, he's allowed to keep that money for himself because he didn't take advantage of using it. And Al Gemara said Kimtza Misasa belongs to the employee, and here we wouldn't have a concern of a husband and wife relationship, and everybody seemingly would hold that he's entitled to keep that money.